continuing in our series, God's Vision for Your Life. How many know God's got a vision for your life? Do you believe God's got a vision for your life? Let me say again, do you believe that God's got a vision for your life? How many know that too often we live our lives so short of what God has planned for us? And He's got so much more planned for us. He has so much more freedom for you to walk in, so much more healing for you to walk in, so much more power for you to walk in. But many times we skip it, man. We just think, you know what? I've been saved and that's enough. But there's more to it. There's a vision that He has for us. We've been looking at this vision for our life that comes out of Scripture, where we see a plan revealed through Scripture that says that God wants every one of us to be saved, healed, set free, discipled, equipped, empowered, and serving. It's a pattern we see set in Scripture. It's a teaching that we see that's set forth for Christians, that Jesus has destined for us to live our life this way. We talked about the last few weeks of being saved, being healed, that He's come to heal us both physically and emotionally. How many know that Jesus didn't die on the cross that you and I could walk around with a broken heart? But He died on the cross that you and I could what? Be healed. He said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. He's come to set people free. That too often we live our life with our hands and our heart and our life chained up. Some of the most bound people I've ever seen in my life are coming to church week in, week out. And isn't that a shame that we would come bound up and leave bound up? Because God's vision for your life is for you to be free. God's vision for your life is for you to be set free from the things that have held you captive for many years. From the hurt, from the rejection, from the bitterness, from things that have happened to you. He has come to heal the brokenhearted. And He says, I am the way. I am the truth. He says, I am the truth. And the Scripture says, you shall know the what? Truth. And the truth shall set you free. The more I know Jesus, the freer I become. The more I know His plan for my life, the more freedom I walk in and I experience. It's the vision that He has for our life. Today we're going to talk about, are you discipled? Are you discipled? The word discipleship is a word you'll hear a lot thrown around in church, and maybe you've wondered, what's that mean? Am I discipled? Am I not discipled? Have I been discipled? And you can go from church to church and probably figure out a pattern of discipleship. Everybody kind of defers in the way of discipling people. I want to break it down to as simple as I can today, because I believe it really comes down to this. It really comes down to the first command that Jesus really gave out to His followers. What did He say to His disciples? He said, hey, if you want to be my disciple, what? Come follow me. That's where we start at. Jesus said, Peter, if you want to be my disciple, quit fishing and come follow me. He told Matthew, hey, come follow me. When Jesus calls disciples, it's a simple call. You want to be my disciple? Come follow me. And the problem is this. We don't have very many followers in the world today of Jesus. Oh, we got a lot of fans. Yeah, we got a lot of fans, don't we? But how many true followers do we really have? The world is full of fans. You can't turn on the TV and see an award show from Hollywood to the American Music Awards. Man, people get up there, you know, and they just, you know, the lifestyle they're living. It's very open, very public, all over the media. The lyrics or anything define what God has established for their life. But yet they get up and they went, I want to thank Jesus Christ, my Lord. Yeah, I'm going to give a shout out to Jesus. I'm a fan. Aren't you a fan? Oh, yeah, it's good to be a fan. But Jesus, let me tell you, Jesus doesn't need any more fans. He really doesn't. He's not looking for fans. He's looking for followers. He didn't come to establish a fan club. He doesn't need a fan club. His ego is way beyond that, okay? He's not looking for a fan club. He's looking for those who would follow after Him. And this is what it means to be a disciple, those who will forsake all and begin to follow after Jesus Christ. So let's discuss this thought about following after Him, being a disciple. Number one, discipleship is moving forward in the things of God. Discipleship is moving forward in the things of God. Let's look at our text this morning, Genesis 8, verses 6 through 11. This is a story of Noah's Ark. Popular story today, and I want to read it for our text. It says, "So it came to pass at the end of 40 days, now that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned to the ark to him. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth, so he put out his hand and took her." It's an important thing to remember. When it comes to the dove, he put out his hand and he took her, and he drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent out the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening. Behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth, and Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. Now we see here where Noah is wanting to open the door of the ark. He is cramped up there. He's been tied up with all the animals, tied up with his mother-in-law, and this guy was fit to be tied. He was ready to get out. He got to where he couldn't tell the difference between his family and some of the animals that were living in the stalls there. Anyway, let's just keep going before I get myself in trouble. Anyway, you get there. He was ready to get out of this thing. And so he sends out the raven. And what happens when he sends out the raven? It says the raven went to and fro, didn't it? To and fro. Doesn't that ring a bell? What else do we see in Scripture where it says that something goes to and fro? It says Satan goes to and fro the earth. He's searching for those he can devour. It's a symbolic thing. You know, I looked up raven, some of the characteristics of a raven. I was looking up on National Geographic, and they were talking about a raven and how, you know, it's a very much a predator, and how it loves to eat roadkill, and it will actually go out and eat the eggs of other birds. It actually says this. It says that a raven will actually go and eat the trash. Your trash, not our trash. If it's not covered up, the ravens will find it, and they'll dig through your trash. Ravens aren't a very good bird, are they? Now, someone told me as we were leaving today, you know, the ravens are one of the national birds in Alaska. And I hope no one from Alaska here. If you're listening to this on the internet and you're from Alaska, I'm here to tell you, ravens are a bad bird. I don't care. They're just bad. Okay? it's not a good thing. Okay? Very unhealthy. A lot of disease followed the ravens. But we see in the Old Testament where you hear me teach several times that the Old Testament is a picture pointing to our relationship with Jesus Christ in the New Testament. It's not only the stories literally that are happening, but it's also the underlining truth that the Holy Spirit is wanting you and I to grasp a hold of. And we see where he sent out the raven, and it went out to and fro as Satan, and didn't he return to him? It was a dove who came back. But you notice, what does the dove represent in Scripture? The dove represents the Holy Spirit. And so we know, it talks about the Holy Spirit coming back to the ark. But do you realize that the dove never came back into the ark until what? Until Noah reached out his hand, made a place for it, the dove flew to his hand, and he grabbed it and brought it back into the ark. See, there's something about our life that we've got to realize. So the dove is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The dove did not force itself back in, but had to wait until Noah reached out his hand and made a place for the dove, and it came back into the ark, was brought back into it. You see, the Holy Spirit will not force His way back into your life. The Holy Spirit will not force His way into your life. But if you want to move forward in the things of God, you must make a space for the Holy Spirit and the things of God to fill your life. The earth was created for man to fill. We know this according to Scripture, that the earth was created that man would multiply it and fill the earth. But man was created for God to fill. We were created for God to fill our life with His holy presence, with His Holy Spirit. He wants you and I to be full of His Holy Spirit. We were made that we could inhabit the Holy Spirit in our life. But He will not force His way in. Noah had to reach out and pull the dove in. Are you passionately reaching out today and saying, "I want more of the things of God"? Am I passionately reaching out and saying, "I want the Holy Spirit to come fill my life"? Am I reaching out, making a place for the Holy Spirit to fill my life today? Some people think that if it's God's plan, then it will just happen. If it's God's plan, if the Holy Spirit fills my life, then it will just happen. No, it just won't happen. I've got to be proactive and say, I am planning, I am making room for a place of God in my life. Not only as a fan, he doesn't need a fan, but as a follower of Jesus Christ, I am creating space for more of God in my life. See, God doesn't respond just to my needs. Does he care about my needs? Yes, he does. Does he know about my needs? Yes, he does. But he responds to my faith. He responds to my faith about these needs. Which brings us to our second point, that God's a feeler, not a forcer. That he feels places. He feels, but he never forces his way in. He only comes to those lives who are opening themselves up to him. He only comes to places that are invited of him. It's a free gift, but we must accept it. It's a free gift that he brings to those who are making rooms for him. He says, if we will call him out, then he will draw near to us. When we call upon his name, he draws close to us. But he's waiting for an invitation. He will not knock your door down. But to those who will just begin to open it up, he comes and fills it like a flood. To those who make room for him, he will come and fill your life today. We see the story of the woman who had the issue of blood. She was working her way through the crowd to try to touch Jesus. Jesus was being touched by many people. As he walked the streets, they were touching him, pressing toward him. This woman knew she needed to be healed of Jesus. And so she worked her way through the crowd, pressing just to touch the hem of his garment. When she touched him, he stopped and said, wait, who touched me? See, everybody else, they're fans. I got a lot of fans around cheering my name. I got a lot of fans around want me to touch their babies and say, yeah, you get my vote. But you know what? Someone else, they touched me in faith. Wait, this woman touched me in faith. I've got to take time to go to her. See, there's something that happens when you reach out in faith and say, God, I need you. God, I am desperate for you. Jesus, I need you to fill my life. He comes to those who are desperately reaching out in faith. He comes to those who reach out and create space for him. God's a feeler. He's not a forcer. We must create space for God to fill. That's what happens when we pay our tithes. When we pay our tithes, we're taking 10% off. We're creating space for God to get in the middle of our money. That's what happens when we open ourselves up and say, God, I'm creating space for you. I'm going to take time to worship you during this daytime. When I'm going in my car, I'm going to put on some worship music. I'm going to do something that's going to invade my space because I want more of you. And we're making time for God to multiply my day with his glory. When I take time to read his word and what God says about me, I can't claim anything I don't know. I can't live the blessing. I can't claim the blessing if I don't know what it says about me. I've got to know what Jesus says about me. I've got to know what God's word says about my life. And so the more I create space and say, God, I am taking time out of this, and I'm taking time to put in my heart the word of the Lord, I'm creating space for the Holy Spirit to come and fill my life. I'm creating space for the Holy Spirit to come and activate the things that I'm putting in my life. Just because the Bible's there getting dust doesn't mean it's going to apply to my life. It's when I open it up and I read it and I create room for it to come alive, for it to operate to what he's wanting. I got to know it. I got to read it. And so I take time out of my day to read God's word, that time can be multiplied into a blessing. That time can be multiplied into a promise. God multiplies the small things that we give, but we got to first make room for him. I remember, this is such an important issue in my life. I remember when I first began to grow in God, and I remember I was so young in the Lord, really. And I remember I was in a worship service that was different than when I was raised, and man, the music there just really touched my heart. I didn't realize praise and worship could be like that. Some of you are experiencing that here for the first time. You've never been in a church where you experience worship to what's going on. And I remember feeling that and thinking, man, I just want more of that. And no one told me this. No one came and gave me the code of conduct. I just knew I wanted more of that. And I could know if I could just not have it on Sunday, I wanted it on Monday. Because I couldn't wait the next Sunday. And so I automatically went and got rid of my other music and got more of God's music. Got more of worship music that I liked. No one was discipling me. No one was telling me to do it. I just knew that I wanted more of God in my life, and I did it. I experienced it. You know what? I can sing these songs in my car. I can listen to them in my dorm room. I can listen to them on my iPod. You know, I can do these things, and I'm creating space for the Holy Spirit to come and minister to my life. I clear my thoughts out, and I'm yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. See, there's something that happens when we create the place for more of God. I take time out of my day to worship. We're creating space to magnify. The third thing here is we disciple. Discipleship is a daily practice. This is such an important tool. Discipleship is a daily practice. We think that I am surrendering my life to Jesus' salvation. And it's very true. When we give our heart to God, we're saying, God, I surrender my heart to you. And that's the first step. But what we realize is this, that it's a daily surrender to be a disciple. I'm not saved daily, but it's a thing of giving myself up daily to be God's disciple, to be Jesus' disciple. He made it very clear in Scripture that we follow after Him. Look what He said in Luke 9:23. Jesus was addressing, He said, hey, He said to them all, who's He talking to? His disciples. If anyone desires to come after Me, to be My disciple, look what He says, deny Himself, take up His cross. How much? Daily. If you want to be My disciple, you got to take it up daily and follow Me. This is where it's at. To be a follower, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's a daily thing that I want to follow after Him. I don't follow after Jesus on Sunday only. But as you mature, you say, I want to be a follower of Jesus in my job. I want to practice business ethics that Jesus would be proud of. I want to follow after Jesus in my marriage. I want to have a marriage that Jesus would be proud of. I want to follow after Jesus in my family, in my children, in my school, in my workplace. I'm learning to grow. Am I perfect? No. But daily I'm getting up and saying, God, today I'm going to do better than I did yesterday. God, today I want to know You more than I did yesterday. God, I want more. He made it very simple. He said, you take up the cross daily. It's a daily thing that He wants for you and I. You see, the grace of God, it keeps us. Make no exceptions, knowing that we are saved by grace. It's grace only that we are saved. But it's obedience that moves us forward. It's a big difference. By grace, we're saved. Only through grace, we're saved. It's something we don't deserve, but we receive it. But I move forward in obedience. It's the obedience that moves me forward. Jesus made it very clear when He taught us how to pray. He said, when you pray, this is how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Not Howard, hallowed be Your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us what? This day. This day. See, there's something He's wanting us to learn, that relationship with Jesus. It's that God, daily I stop and say, God, hallowed be Thy name. How great is Your name. Thank You, God, for Your grace in my life. Thank You, God, for Your healing in my life. Thank You, God, that You're healing the brokenhearted. Thank You, God, You're repairing things in my life. It's a daily thing, and I've got to make room for Him daily. Being a disciple is a daily thing that I make room for Him daily in my life. We need to pray daily to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to pray daily that we create space for the Holy Spirit every day in our life. Have you ever flown on a plane, and when you come in on the plane, when you get ready to land, you start coming back through the clouds, and it's really, really cloudy? And how many knows what happens when you come through those clouds, when maybe you're going through a storm, or maybe when it's just a really, really cloudy day, and you start coming down through the clouds, and as soon as you get in the clouds, what usually happens most of the time? You start hitting what? Turbulence, don't you? Start jumping around, you know, and you look out the window, see what's going on. You can't see anything because there's this clouds right there, and you're like, The guy behind you has been all macho, you know, he's drunk behind you. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, God, Jesus, oh, man. He's grabbing the back of your seat. You're like, People are panicking everywhere. You're in the turbulence. You see heads going like this, you know, popping up. And it's like you get through the clouds and get past the clouds, and all of a sudden you can see the runway ahead. And the thing just begins to smooth out, and all of a sudden you just feel this. Throughout the whole plane, you just feel that peace just coming through there. And I was like, oh, that was God. That was nothing, man. That was nothing, man. Everybody's like, all of a sudden this peace comes over them when they see the runway and they know that that's, it's okay. You see, when you and I make a runway in our lives and say, Holy Spirit, I want you to land here. Jesus, I want you to land here. I want more of you in my life. I'm preparing. Yo, right here. I got my flags out. Holy Spirit, right here. I want more of you right here. Yeah, right here now. Get the orange vest out. You get the lights and the flags and you wave. God, I want more of you. God, I'm hungry for more. Land right here. There's a peace that follows that. There's a peace of God that comes. See, he said that the dove came back, bringing the olive branch. And the olive branch, what does it mean? It's a symbolic of peace. The dove comes back and it brings the Jesus to you. You notice the second time in the scripture, the second time this happened, the dove didn't bring back. Hey, dove did come back. Notice what he didn't do different this time? He didn't send out the raven, did he? He didn't send out the raven at all. He got tired of messing with the raven. Some of you here, you got to quit messing with the raven. Quit messing with the things that drag you down. Quit messing with the things that lead to the same addiction. Quit messing with the things that lead to the same relationship problems. Quit messing with the things that lead you to the place you're at. And say, God, I want to go after the dove. I'm tired of messing with the raven. I want the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm going to reach out and make space for it. I'm going to reach my hands and say, God, I want the Holy Spirit to come. I'm going to pull them in. I want more of you, God. I don't want to chase after the raven no more, but I'm opening up my life to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life. The thing he's calling us to be a disciple. So opening up, making more room for him. Stop trusting in the ravens. Start putting your trust in the dove. Start putting your desire to want more to follow after the Holy Spirit. You've got to create room. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, when the dove comes, it brings the olive branch, which brings Jesus. And when you deal with the dove, expect the dove to bring you Jesus. When you open up your life to the Holy Spirit, expect the Holy Spirit to bring you Jesus. The Holy Spirit will bring you a greater revelation of who Jesus is and His vision for your life. Jesus brings God's vision for your life. Magicians are coming this morning. Jesus brings God's vision for your life. You need to be saved today. Jesus brings salvation. You need to be healed today. Jesus brings healing, both physically and emotionally. You need to be set free. Jesus brings freedom in our life. You need to be discipled. To know Jesus is to be a disciple, to be a follower of Him. Today, tomorrow is the last day of October. Tuesday is the first day of November. Before you know it, we're going to be eating turkey and stuff in our face. Christmas shopping. It's here already. My desire, my prayer is that at Destiny Church that we have people who begin to prepare their heart even now. Say, God, I want to begin these last 2 months to create space in my life for more of the Holy Spirit. I want to begin to create more room to bring in more of God's will in my life. I want my life to become a place where the Holy Spirit comes and fills, empowers to a new level, to a higher dimension. It's only going to come when we make more room. Our lives are full of stuff, aren't they? I got to get rid of some pride. I got to get rid of some things that manipulate my time. I got to get rid of some hurts. I got to get rid of some things. And I got to say, God, I want to continue to empty myself out so that I can bring more in of who you are. And my prayer is that we will begin to say, God, I'm ready to give you everything I am. Because see, He wants it all. He wants it all. So He can come and buy in our life. I believe in 2012 that we're going to see God just come and fill your life in a new level. I believe there's going to be some people walking in the Holy Spirit in a new level of power that you haven't ever experienced before. You're going to walk in a new baptism. You're going to walk in a new fresh anointing that God's wanting in your life. But it's only going to come because you're going to have to fight your way through. You're going to have to make room. He's not going to force His way in. But those who make room and invite their lives, say, God, I want more of you. He's going to come. He's going to feel. I believe this. And so this is my prayer, that over the next 2 months, we begin to make that space for Him. Opening up our lives to God, I want more of you. Because He wants it all. Listen to this song today.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love Him, longing for a child that will give Him their all, give it all. He wants it all. There's a God that wants over the earth, searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give Him their all, give it all. He wants it all. And He says, love me. Love me with your whole heart. And that's it all today. Serve me. Serve me with your life now. And that's it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, searching for happiness, desperate, longing for a child that will give Him their all. He wants it all. He wants it all. And He says, love me. Love me. Serve me with your life now. That's all today. Bow down. a child that will give him their own gift. Oh, he wants it all.
He wants it all today. Today, if you're here, and you say, you know what, Pastor, today I want to give Jesus my life. I want to make him my personal Savior. I will not embarrass you at all. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes today. I just want you to ask, if you're here today, and say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand high and say, that's me. I'm ready today to make that the commitment. Anybody here today, you want to make that commitment? Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready. Thank you. Anybody else want to join? Say, I'm ready today to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. Anybody else want to join us? That's me. I'm ready today. Thank you. We're going to say this prayer, and then we're going to say another prayer as we close today. Especially those who raised your hands today, we're going to repeat it with you. Let's say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you my whole life today. I confess you as Lord. From this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say welcome to the family of God. Let's give him a hand clap. Yeah, we big news. If you prayed that prayer today, make sure today before you leave, you stop by an information booth in the back and get a special packet. It's got a Bible and some other things that tell you what you need to do next. If you don't have a church home, you need to be involved in a church home. We'd love to have you here. Come around people who will love you, support you. You need that support when you're making a change, when you're making a lifestyle change. You need people who are going to help steer you in the right direction. The rest of you here today, how many say, Pastor, I want to create more space for God in my life than I ever have in my life? That's you. I want you to stand on your feet and say, I'm ready to create more room in my life. I'm taking the challenge over the next 2 months. I'm going to begin to put aside things in my life that have kept me away from God. I'm going to begin to sacrifice some things. I'm going to begin to put away some things and begin to put more of Jesus. Begin to create a landing path for the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm going to begin to create a hunger for Him. I'm going to create space for Him. I'm going to prioritize that I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life. If that's you today, we're going to raise our hands as a sign of surrender. When we open our hands up, it's a receiving thing. When our babies come to us, when they raise their hands up, they're ready to receive our love today. When we raise our hands up today to our Heavenly Father, we're saying, Father, today I'm ready to receive everything you have for me. I want to create space in my life. I want to create more space in my life for you. I want you to begin to come, fill my heart today. We say, come, Holy Spirit, now. Begin to fill our heart. Lord, help us begin to get rid of things that are alive, selfish idols that we carry around. Help us to get rid of things that we're holding on to. But God, help us begin to pursue the things of you. God, help us to pursue making more space for you, creating more room that you'll come and fill us like a flood. Because God, your word says that when your rain comes, it comes like a flood. Even though we may open the door, there's a crack. God, it begins to pressure and come through. And God, the rain comes and cleanses us, and it refreshes us, and it renews us. It brings healing waters, Lord. It brings power to heal our life, both physically and emotionally. God, it brings renewed vision. It brings restoration to our marriage. It brings restoration to our children. It brings restoration to our family. It brings healing, God, right now in the name of Jesus. With our hands raised, we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come on, let's sing it out.
Love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants the world today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. Love me with your whole. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today.
He wants it all today. He knows it all.
Ready to give them everything. Are you ready to give them all? I'm ready. Amen. Justin's going to come this morning, dismiss us in a word of prayer. Remember when we leave here today, if you can help us stack these chairs up, and some of you guys can help us wheel them to the front, we're going to create a barrier around the stage with the chairs, stack them up in groups about five or six high. Okay, that'll help us out a lot. God bless you today, Justin. Close us out in a word of prayer.
Lord God, we love you this morning, God, and we thank you for your word to us, God. Lord, you've told us, God, not to send the raven, God, but to send the dove, God. Lord, in return, the dove will bring us you. And God, that's our heart song, God. But we pray that our heart song will sing for you, God, every day of our lives, God. And that we will let go of our idols, God, and everything else, God, that keeps us away from you, God. Lord, that we will make space for more of you, God. That's what we want, God. That's what you created us for, God. That's what we want to do with our lives, God. We love you so much. And we pray that you would seal this word in our hearts, God, and help us to think about it, God, and think about the areas, God, that we can clean out the clutter, God, but to leave more space for you to fill our lives. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.